Hello, Dale speaking. This is India.
Dale speaking. This is Roo.
Dale speaking. This is Amber.
Ring, ring. Dale speaking.
Say things.
Things.
That, again, is not a real thing.
You know, I thought that I was having a hiccup earlier.
Hiccup. A single hiccup.
Welcome to Radio Dale number 61.
This week in music history, born on this day, it is Gary Numan.
Birthday. On Who Charted? Oscar nominees. Sorry. And that's it. Thank you for listening. Rue's 60-second tip of the week: why it's a good idea for artists to make friends.
Aw. For the roundtable, respect your fans. I almost said research your fans.
Sorry. Respect them.
We should research them, too.
Research them, too.
But that's not what we're talking about.
No, it isn't. No. We're respecting them. In today's roundtable, respect your fans.
Oh. And our song of the week is Jimmy Rankin's brand new single, Cool Car.
Yay. All right.
Get historical.
Let's get historical. All up in here.
All up in here.
And I get to start with a sad one.
Yeah, let's start it off with.
Great. March 6, 2010, Mark Linkous, who's one of my favorite songwriters, frontman with the U.S. band Sparkle Horse, committed suicide by shooting himself in the heart outside a friend's house in Knoxville, Tennessee. In 96, he died for 2 minutes. He had ingested Valium and antidepressants while he was playing with OK Computer, Radiohead's OK Computer tour.
Huh.
And he had collapsed on the ground and passed out, but he folded over himself, so he cut off the circulation to his legs, and when the doctors came and straightened him out, his heart stopped because his legs had built up potassium in them. So he spent a long time recovering from that, and he never really recovered from it. He always was kind of depressed. So sadly, March 6th, that was when Sparkle Horse stopped making music in 2010.
March 7th, 1970, Simon and Garfunkel's album Bridge Over Troubled Water started a 10-week run at number one on the US chart. They had actually split up by the time of that release.
Oh,
I didn't know that. That's too bad, but that's like people charting when they die.
March 8th, 1958, born on this day, Gary Numan.
That was our Gary Numan lesson for the day.
Happy birthday. March 9th, 2009, the number one single on the Canadian Hot 100, Flo Rida with Right Round.
Anyway, do you know who sings on the Flo Rida one, though?
Two. Kesha.
Really?
Yeah, but not in the video. They have this random girl, like, I'm singing. But then the one that actually sang the chorus is Kesha.
We're right back to the Technotronic conversation we had with Yak Kid K and bringing in other people to pretend to be them.
So this one ties into something we said last week for music history. So March 10th, 1996, it was the Juno Awards. And last week we talked about a certain Canadian artist who won Grammy Awards. Well, this artist was winning some Juno Awards. So March 10th, 1996, Alanis Morissette won Best Album for Jagged Little Pill, Best Female Singer, Best Rock Album, Best Songwriter, and Best Single at the 25th Juno Awards held in Hamilton.
Wow.
I guess that she's the best.
Yeah.
March 11th, 2006, the Disney Channel original movie High School Musical was number one on the U.S. album chart. Wow. The album went to break all records for a soundtrack, selling over 7 million copies worldwide. It was number one in Australia, New Zealand, Brazil, Argentina, and Mexico.
March 12th, 2001, Judy Garland, and this is relevant to the Oscars too, because they brought her up a lot. Judy Garland's Over the Rainbow was voted Song of the Century.
Wow.
There were a bunch of people in a hole, and they cast their ballots. In a poll published in America, musicians, critics, and fans compiled the list by the RIA.
So that's
Song of the Century.
Because Pink did an amazing job singing it on the Oscars. And it's the 75th anniversary of
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. So
Yeah, no, that's very cool. Song of the Century. There are a couple of others I probably would put up on there. I would. What a Wonderful World, I think.
Or Like a Virgin.
Or Like a Virgin. I didn't, you know, that wasn't there.
What's
but
that one?
I agree.
Something, when I think about you, I touch myself. That's up there too.
That's song of the century, kid. Well, we're good. We're relevant. So let's move on to Who Charted?
Well, you ended nicely for talking about Oscars for a yes. little segue. So more Oscar fun, because apparently we just really like them. So I thought it would be cool to look at what's going on with the songs that were nominated for Best Original Song. And there were four. They all performed. So let's look at the first song is Let It Go, which is the song that won. Mm-hmm. So on iTunes, it's on the charts there at number 16, number 20, and number 30.
Very different versions?
Very different versions, yeah.
That's a lot of charting.
Yeah, and with the Oscars, what kind of boost did it get? Like, it's not even in the top 10.
Yeah. Maybe because everybody already owns it.
Probably it was a Christmas song thing, right. But yeah. I thought it was interesting, the versions. And that, just so we can do a little radio comparison, obviously not a song that's on radio right now. But Happy is, it's number 2 on iTunes. And this week, it's number 20 at AC, number 10 at Hot AC, and number 5 on CHR.
You just say the title and the song starts
you just
in my head right away.
Happy. I love it. The third one, Ordinary Love in Mandela by Amber's favorite band of all time.
You too.
Me too?
You too.
Oh, good.
It's number 6 on the iTunes chart this week. Mm. And it's coming down the rock radio charts, so it's at 47. But okay. It's been on there for a while.
Yeah.
So still doing well on iTunes. And the last song is The Moon Song, which who knew this existed?
Who
yeah.
Is it?
It's the one that was in Her.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not existent. It's number 33 on iTunes,
okay.
Which is not bad for
so
it.
Probably got a boost.
Bit of a boost, and I couldn't find any radio play for it anywhere. Mm-hmm. So that's not surprising, because the song was, I don't know how to describe
yeah. It was Karen O, and then I think she had someone from Vampire Weekend singing with her at the Oscars. I don't know if he's in the original or not.
But
that's all I know.
I can already predict next year's Oscar-winning song. Everything is Awesome from the Lego Movie, because it is the best song in history.
Really?
I predict right now. We'll come back to this and you'll be like,
I love
you, you're the best.
Rue, you're a genius.
Everything is Awesome.
We won't say it yet though.
Tegan and Sarah and Lonely Island, and the music for the movie was written by the lead guy of Devo, and it's a very, very cool song.
That's awesome. So it's cool to
Everything
know.
Is awesome, in fact.
Yeah. So it seems Pharrell is doing the best.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 years running now. He had Blurred Lines and Get Lucky last year. There you go.
It's a nice setup for him to have those two.
Mm-hmm.
Who
mm-hmm.
knows if we would have cared that much if those two other songs didn't happen first.
He's sort of an odd duck. He kind of floats in and floats out and floats in and floats out. And now he's back in a big way.
Must be nice to be able to afford that.
Yeah, right?
He's going to float out right now.
Anyways, things have gotten way off the rails.
Rue, educate us.
I'll educate y'all now. I've also come from the States. So, for my 60-second tip this week, why making friends with other musician friends, that was awkwardly worded, is a good idea. It will make sense in a second. So, one of the most neglected but vital parts of a successful music career is befriending other artists. And here are some points as to why this can help you out. Number one, you can cross-promote. Your fans can be their fans, and vice versa. So by sharing each other's music and links and songs, you can kind of dip into each other's fan bases. Number two, learning. You can teach each other, not only artistically, but about business. So marketing tricks you've learned, touring tips, things that will make touring easier. You can avoid issues that you may not know about because your musician friend says, don't do this or do this instead. And number three, of course, financially, you could get gigs and tours by having other musician friends and they bring you along on a tour, or say, will you open for us on this day? You could save money by sharing space. This also applies to tours, but maybe recording or maybe rehearsal space. And if you pass on an opportunity or they do, then you could always recommend your friend to take on that opportunity. But most importantly, it can be like a little family, so you can actually look out for and help each other, which you may not get if you haven't befriended other musicians. I'm making a hand gesture of friendship.
Symbolizing friendship.
Symbolizing friendship.
What a way to finish that off.
Interlocking. Yeah. People are like, there's some kind of noise going on. But there you go. That's a 60-second tip of the week.
That's a great tip.
Yay!
I like that.
I especially like the rehearsal space one.
Yes.
That, I feel like that would make a big,
rehearsal space was always a problem. Yeah. If you live in a small town, it's easy because you just go out to one of your friends' farms, because if you're in a small town, you probably know someone with big space. But like in the city, I don't even know how some people do it.
Mm-hmm.
Townhouses, apartments, all the condos, like it must be so hard if you live in a space like that to play. So you gotta have a friend of the house. Yeah, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Even though you love music, you would kill your neighbor because all you hear is bass and drum.
Yeah, you don't hear them. And they could suck as well. You know.
Always supporting
the
music
industry.
Yeah. Thumbs up. So, roundtable.
Yes. Now it's time to talk about stuff.
Cool.
Not
and this roundtable is about fans. But how is it about our fans? If we were a band, Ambindiru is the name of our band.
Oh, that's so
Ambindiru.
Bad.
Ambindiru.
And we were touring. What about our fans is important? What are we talking about today?
We need to show them a little.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Respect your fans. And this isn't, even though during the intro it was kind of an order, and I even pointed at Amber when I said it.
Respect your fans.
We have our lucky number 13, because we seem to like the number 13, set of tips that we came up with about respecting your fans. Mm-hmm. Things you can do so your fans go, ooh.
Yeah,
I like these guys,
and
or girls, or Ambindiru.
Yeah, or Ambindiru. And I think there are two main reasons why it's really important for artists to do this. Mm-hmm. One, just, you know, altruistically, it's a really nice thing to do for your fans, to people that are paying money and want to show your appreciation. But two, your fans are the strongest form of marketing that you can have.
Mm-hmm.
It's all word of mouth, and nothing is more reliable than, you know, a source that's coming from someone with good intentions, not that's being forced
to
do something, or not because they, like, it's just better than a review, or than having radio. It's better than
all
of those things.
And the 60-second tip at one point, like, pretty much everything I was saying there about why you should work with other bands involves fans.
Yeah.
So how to dip into each other's fan bases, how to get more people out to your show. Those are your fans coming out to shows. So 13 tips.
Mm-hmm.
Amber, kick it off.
Amber.
Kicking it off.
Kick it off.
Woo-wee!
Because without your fans, you are nothing.
You are nothing. Without your fans, you're just sitting in a room alone playing music to a wall.
It's so true.
It really is. So, our first tip is more of examples that we have, I guess at least two of us have experienced when attending some of our favorite bands' shows. So I'll use one of my examples, and they're actually kind of very close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So they both have to do with lotteries. So for me, for my experience was when I went to see U2, what they did, instead of having, because they had their stage where you could be inside of this circle, and they could walk around on the circle, so fans are inside and outside.
Yeah.
And instead of charging more for people to be in the circle and less for people behind it, or outside of it, they had a lottery. So when you basically walked in and doors opened, they scanned your ticket. It either said Vertigo, which was the tour, which meant you got to go in the circle, or it didn't say anything and you had to go outside of the circle. And I thought that was brilliant because I actually got to go in the circle.
Yay!
But yes, but in all, I thought it was fantastic for them to do it because of
the fairness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody was out there to hurt anybody, and we all, you know, got in there and had a good time. And yes, and I know India has an experience as well, or knows about one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really similar to yours, actually. Mm-hmm. Just Hanson at their shows, instead of charging more for a meet and greet, like lots of artists do, you can charge like $1,500 to meet the band. They do a lottery system as well. So at every show, if you say you're going and you show you have the ticket, you submit like a little blurb about why you want to meet them or how long you've been a fan. And, you know, as soon as they know that you're a super fan, then they put you in a lottery and see if you're chosen to go meet them at the show.
Very
I thought another cool thing about this is that they can like post the fans' experiences. So then fans are seeing other fans' experiences and how long they've been fans as well. So
yeah,
that's just encouraging.
And it brings them into the, makes them feel like they're actually a part of the band experience.
Yes.
That they're sort of, the band is opening up to them, which is cool.
So it's something to take into consideration whether you're on a smaller level or a larger level as a band or an artist. You can adapt that to a way that works for you, but it's just a very good way to show them you care.
Now, our second tip is actually promoting our own show, but we did have a podcast previously that talked about ways to make your shows more interactive.
Yes.
At least we had a segment in the podcast, but making your shows more interactive. And that is a very important thing that you can do as an artist, is not only bringing your fans to the show, but letting them feel like they're a part of the show as well.
Mm-hmm.
So after you listen to this episode, if you haven't heard it already, and I know you have, go to Radio Dale number 59, Improving Your Live Performance. And that has a lot of tips on ways for you to engage fans while on stage. So it's kind of like we're promoting our show, like you should promote your fans. I don't know what that even means.
Tip number three, let them hear sneak peeks of new music.
Mm.
That's simple.
Yeah.
And it's nice. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love that? It's like a little present.
And there's so many ways you could do it on your website, through SoundCloud, on YouTube video.
Yeah. Yeah, it's showing me that, you know, you want me to hear things, and it's exclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people are doing it through their Pledge Music campaigns. Like, if you were a pledger, you get certain updates that other people don't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just exclusivity, I think, is something that makes people feel special, and it shows that you're paying attention to me as a fan.
Yeah.
Especially if you organize a fan club. People don't really, unless you're a big band, have fan clubs anymore where the fans get...
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly through Pledge Music,
I'd say. Yeah, you kind of treat just your social media as a fan club now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, number four, let them choose certain things.
Yeah.
So what do we mean by that? I mean, that could be multiple stuff. That could be multiple things. So, for example, we have down here, when you're doing a concert, put out a website post, Facebook post saying, what songs do you want to hear live?
Mm-hmm.
What songs do you not want to hear? I don't know if you want to put that up there. Also, on our new album, we're trying to pick out a name of a single. What do you think of this title or that title?
Yeah.
Or where should we go on tour? I've seen that, and people have created a lot of conversation on a Facebook post. So it's just getting them involved in the conversation and be interactive with you creating your stuff.
Yeah, because then you also find out what they want. Because if you say we'd like to have an experience and we're not interested in meet and greets, what would you like us to do? Maybe people will be like, I would think a dinner with like the band and five other fans would be really cool. Or say the band is basketball. They like to play basketball. You actually have the band play 5-on-5 against 5 fans kind of a thing. So have the fans, by polling your fans and finding out what they want, you kind of get an idea of what you could give them. Well.
And why wouldn't you do it? Because companies do it.
Oh, totally.
Major companies.
Yeah.
So
it's like choosing your favorite potato chip flavor.
To do market research, their research of their, of who's buying what and what they want. So why not do it to the people that are buying what you put out there?
Yeah, totally.
So.
Number 5, be sure to tell them what you're doing is special or unusual for you. Now, there is a comment about behind the scenes of Rival Sons.
Yes. So, for example, so basically this is another thing I'd say that's under exclusivity.
Yes.
And I'll mention the one example I wrote down. Rival Sons are in the studio, and they didn't release much other than photos from when they're in the studio. And I know they are very secretive. When they go into the studio, they don't play anything. They don't go, hey, this is a new song we're working on. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it for our upcoming album. They don't do any of that stuff. So I watched a behind the scenes where they did a tour of the studio. So you didn't actually hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they just made one comment saying, we love you guys so much. You're our fans. And literally no one is allowed in here outside of us and those two guys, meaning the producer and whoever else.
Yeah.
And he said, but we wanted to show you what it looks like where we're recording. And it's just because we miss you guys. We want to be on the road soon. And there you have it. And when they said that, I was like, they didn't have to say that. But that was nice of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's just an example of, you know, providing a look into things that you necessarily may not have as a fan.
Which could apply to behind the scenes of shows as well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll see bands. I know Amy Mann, when she was on tour, she would show, she would be like in her hotel, I was going to say dressing room, but hotel room. And she'd be like writing music or something like that. And she'd mm-hmm. have somebody film her. So you get this like glimpse into what it's like when she's not actually mm-hmm. out performing. She's just relaxing.
Exactly. Just outside of the norm. So it doesn't just have to be, you know, here's an acoustic version of this song. It's taking them to places, like it says, that's unusual, maybe, or mm-hmm. out of the normal for you. So
yeah.
Be open-minded.
Yes.
Number 6. Tell your fans thank you and show them thank you. I really like it when people, like, I always find actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. So you can say it all at a concert. Like, you know, it's amazing to say. But I really like it when bands do things like giving their fans photo credit. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, a fan's like wanting to start to be a professional photographer, maybe they take amazing shots of you, like share that on Twitter and say thank you to at whoever, or post mm-hmm. them on your website and say photos courtesy of this awesome fan. Because, mm-hmm. you know, they're doing, they want to go to the show and get cool shots for themselves, but they're helping you too. So
especially if they share them with their friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's promotion for you.
Yeah. Yep. I know Headley, when they were doing The Show Must Go, I think that album, every day they would get a new fan picture. They had fans submit pictures. And they had a little cute frame, like digital frame, ornate frame. It said, like, fan of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they would change their Facebook profile picture.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually had them in it.
That's
so
really cool.
So when they would post that day, that fan's face mm-hmm. would go up for all their posts.
And that would make people go to your Facebook page every day, because you'd want to see if you were that
Are you
that
the
fan.
Person today?
Are you the person?
Yeah, totally.
I also like it when artists name their fans. Like, I know Lady Gaga has her monsters.
Yeah.
And I think that's a way of showing respect to them and thanking them for being so loyal. Another one, like Neverest, they have Nevies.
The Nevies, yeah, that's right.
And that's another way of just saying, we love you guys, you're our family, and we name you like you're, you know, mm-hmm. a part of us.
And on an indie level, Ménage actually refers to their fans as their family. Because they're a family band with the two brothers and one sister. So if you're a fan of Ménage, they just refer to you as being part of their family, which mm-hmm. is really neat.
It's amazing.
So there you go. You don't just have to say thank you, like India said.
Yeah.
You show it. Okay, 7. Let them get to know you. Give them behind the scenes. So mm-hmm. it does tie into a point we made earlier at 5, but I think the 1 key here is letting them get to know your personality, what mm-hmm. kind of person you are, because for me, personally, that is much more enjoyable for me. I feel more of a connection to a band that I'm following or getting into when they actually allow me to see what they are like.
Yeah.
Now here's one band I was following on Facebook, but I don't know a lot about. I know enough.
Yeah.
But the Glorious Sons. And they, just from flipping through their Facebook, from the posts they've done the past couple of weeks, I can already tell they're a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. There's fun videos on there. Their pictures are really goofy. They've got smiles on their faces. They're just talking about, hey, we're playing in this city tonight. But they take a random photo of, like, there was one of a chandelier, and they're like, that's pretty. Like, just like, you know, to me, it's just letting me know that you're human and you're not this machine.
Mm-hmm.
And because when I use Facebook or I use any social media on my personal level, I have my personal photos on there. I have my thoughts on there. I share things I find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't you do it?
Exactly.
You know?
Because a band is made up of artists who are people, so it shouldn't always be about the brand
mm-hmm.
kind of a thing. Just like let the people come through.
Yeah.
8, talk to them, not at them. Oh, now,
what a way to show.
I know, right?
R.E.S.
Exactly. And I hate when an artist, I use a very strong word, but I do.
Hate
when an artist only uses their social media or online to sell me something. They're going on tour, here's where you get tickets. It's not even like we're excited to be going to Winnipeg or something.
True.
It's just, we're going to be in Winnipeg here to buy tickets. We have a new album out, buy it on iTunes. New single coming out next week, pre-order it now.
So
new video coming out, be sure to share it with your friends, and that's it. Selly. Just being silly. Everything's about selling. I don't like that.
Yeah.
You should be engaging. You should be having conversations, not just promoting yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to a fan that you're talking to them, not talking at them.
And could that be something you could apply to when you're at a show as well? So not mm-hmm. just online. So like, I was thinking, you know, I've seen bands where we're so-and-so, buy our album over there.
We have t-shirts at the table.
Yeah, like, it's, I mean, you're limited in what you can do when you're playing a live show. But when you're talking, again, it's one of those things where let me know what you're like. Let me know who you are, you know, and
artists that can banter and show a personality will always be more entertaining than ones that, even if they're playing great music, all they care about is selling a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. We're trying to strategically pass around a piece of paper. But all these kids... Number nine. Party with your fans before or after shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rue or Amber wrote that one. They're both equally excited about it.
That was me.
Amber likes to party.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that one's a pretty straightforward one.
Yeah.
But
it's,
hang out, be cool.
Yeah. I find that's a huge way of showing respect, that you don't look down at me. You look
We're equals.
Yeah, we're equals. Come down, have a beer.
Yeah.
Don't hide away from your fans.
Yeah.
Join them. They're there to see you. And it's probably a really good confidence booster because people are probably going to tell you how great you are.
That's true.
And I remember seeing bands way back when at Masonic Lodge in Streetsville.
Ooh.
And the bands would it wasn't a bar and it's like underage. But the bands would just, you know, we'd all have our drinks and our water bottles and they'd hang out with everybody before and after. Or, you know, and it just made everyone feel like, I know these people. Or I know this person. I get to hang out with this person. And they're so cool. And some of the most positive feedback I remember hearing when I was a teenager, if we went to see a band, from fans, was that they got to hang out with so-and-so after.
You know,
the show was awesome. But like, this guy's so cool, blah, blah, blah. And that's the information they share.
Yes.
So that's one of the things I've taken away from experiences personally. So I definitely wanted to share that in there. So, number 10, this one's kind of vague when I just say it, help them out.
Yeah.
And this one's kind of weird, but you're always looking for your fans to share your stuff or help you out, but you're guaranteed you're going to have super fans. You're going to have those people that are going to be telling you stuff all the time, messaging you all the time. Keep your eyes open for things that, you know, something is strange as maybe they lost their cat and they need you to share
a photo.
So, or their car got broken into and stuff got stolen in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Share and say, hey, if you know anything about this, please help our, you know, friend out. And just be open to helping them. If they ask you for help, oblige. And also reach out.
Yeah, reach out. See if people need help with something.
Yeah.
Like, why not? Like, I'm sure you're very busy.
Mm-hmm.
Artists tend to be quite busy, but everybody has downtime. And maybe after having a break, like a relaxing day or something, you could spend a day just reaching out to fans and saying, hey, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
Because they're doing a lot for you. They're lifting up and going to shows. They're buying your shirts. Yeah. They're
do any of you paint?
Mm-hmm.
Share some of your paintings. I'll pick my favorite.
Yeah.
And I'll share it on my wall for a week.
Yeah. So you're helping them by spreading their art.
Help them promote what it is they do.
No, that's a really good one. Number 11, give advice. Sometimes fans are aspiring musicians. And on this one, I wrote this because it's very true. I think it's awesome when artists actually help fans become musicians themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's giving advice on how to play an instrument or helping them, talking to them, encouraging them to make YouTube videos or record a song. All that stuff's really cool. So be open to asking questions, even if the question is, do you have any questions about music, about the business, about playing an instrument? I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And advice is such a nice thing to give because it doesn't cost anything.
This is true.
Yeah.
I like that. No, it's just another way to connect. And show that you're human.
Yes, if you are human.
Not a god.
Well, people look up to you, right?
You thought god, I was thinking like aliens. So it just shows where
you are not a god. Oh, we're almost at the end. Number 12. Invite them to be in your video shoot.
Yay.
Yes,
so cool.
Yeah. So many of you, like the Sheepdogs did that?
Yep.
Yeah, Balconies just did it last
Balconies
week.
Balconies did it.
I mean, every...
I could name a million bands that have done it.
It's also cheaper.
Yeah. Using your fans saves you money.
Yeah. You can, like, probably pay them with cookies, and they'd be like, cool.
Cookies? Especially if the cookies are in the shape of your head.
Yeah.
Oh! Burn. That's a little scary.
Is it? All these fans eating your head? No. Zombie movie. Anyways.
Yeah, so do that. It'd be great. Number 13. Always, always, always make time for photos and autographs. This is a massive one for me because if you don't make time for that or you turn somebody down, you don't understand how that person feels when you do that to them.
It's crushing.
It's crushing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if that person's been waiting a long time. I remember walking up to an artist... who shall remain nameless.
Do they have to stay nameless? Could you tell us? Okay.
I'll tell you when the podcast is
over. Okay.
And I didn't ask for an autograph or photo, but I walked up and just said, hey, I thought that show was really awesome. You guys are like cool. I don't know what the hell I said, but it was something along the lines of
maybe
saying,
it came
I
out
really
I love you.
Yeah, I really liked your show. It was amazing. And I literally got, and I shook his hand, and I literally got that weak handshake and the okay. And to this day, I have disliked that person very, very much.
It was Justin Bieber, wasn't it?
Yes, I shook Justin Bieber's hand. You're really good. But and someone has an example of Matt Damon's broken arm.
It's not music, but it is. I think it's the biggest example of somebody showing, like, integrity as being a celebrity. But Matt Damon, there's a video that was going around where Matt Damon was coming out of a airport, and he had his arm in a sling, and then he was suddenly, basically, the paparazzi got on him and started asking him questions. And obviously he was back from a trip, he's hurt his arm, he's on his way somewhere. And what does he do? He stops, answers all the paparazzi's questions, even though they're stupid, smile on his face, sincerely. A guy runs up with a stack of Matt Damon pictures to, like, obviously get autographed and put on eBay. But we're talking, like, 50.
Wow.
Matt Damon stands with his broken arm and signs each one, talking to the guy who's brought up the pictures and answering the questions simultaneously. So, like, being friendly... answering paparazzi's questions, signs some more pictures.
Wow.
Talks to the guy, like, you gonna put these up on eBay? Good. I hope you make some money. And then, like, talks to the
really?
Guy. He was just so friendly.
See, to me, that's
I don't
one
like it
exception.
When people... Yeah, if it's just to sell money, like... I was watching...
You knew that that's what the guy was doing
but,
it for.
Yeah, I guess
But Matt Damon didn't care. It was true. Somebody coming up to him, asking him for something. It was... There was a kid, I think, at one point comes up. He poses for the picture. Like, he did not... stop and get angry at all of this happening.
Wasn't cranky and brushing them off.
Yeah, which I think is cool. That's way everybody should, like, maybe you've had a bad day. That's where you take the artist and go back to whatever theater training you had when you were in high school and just say, turn it off.
But
and
you know
be
what?
Happy.
Even if it's a bad day, like, if I'm in a bad mood, I find the one thing that makes me feel better is going somewhere where I'm forced to talk and, like, be nice to someone. Like, if I buy something and, you know, like, the cashier is, like, anything else or whatever, then you're, like, then I feel better because I had, like, a nice conversation with someone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I really don't think there's any excuse for this bad day.
Especially
like, someone, a fan
only
telling you you're awesome, I love you, like, how can you be mad at that?
Except the only times I can see is paparazzi when they
that's different,
are bombarding you with, you know, did you do drugs?
But in Canada, I don't think we have to worry about that as much. For Canadian musicians, you don't really see much paparazzi attacking.
No, especially if you're, you know, on a smaller level. But it's just, you know, those people want... Because you don't know what they're going to do with those photos. They could be putting them up in their locker or their bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
They have a keepsake album of autographs that they show to people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's, they put it on their Facebook and show it. Oh, my God. So
it might be the most important thing in the world to them at that moment. So
exactly.
Always find time for your fans.
Respect your fans.
Respect your fans.
That's the point of that. Those 13 lovely
13,
tips.
13 tips. Yeah. And we will have 13 more tips on something else sometime in future.
Mm-hmm.
We like 13.
We do like 13.
Oh, we should do something special on Friday the 13th.
Have our 13 favorite songs about the number 13. I don't think that would work.
I don't know if there's...
there are.
There's got to be one.
Each of us make our... 13 favorite lists, and all of them have to be 13, so it's 100 and some odd, 191 or something, I don't know. Math. That has been Radio Dale number 61. If you want to find out more about us, dalespeaking.com.
Yes.
Pretty much does it all. We're everywhere else is Dale Speaking, so that's kind of it for that.
Yeah, search us. Rue has our website set up so you can link to our Facebooks and Twitters and podcast and the blogs.
The blogs and our Video Dale episode and all the clients and everything. So check us out there. Are there any last thoughts before we go to our song?
No, I think I'm happy with the point we made today because it's very important.
It's all about fans and friendship.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you could have everything else taken away from you as an artist. You could have no manager, no lawyer, no publicist, no label. You would still have your fans.
That's true.
They'll be there at the end of the day.
They're like your best friends.
Yep.
So treat them like respect your fans.
So. And speaking of fans, there are a lot of fans of this next artist that we're going to be playing.
Yes.
He has built quite the fan base. So this week we have released a brand new single from a Canadian country icon, is the word I'd like to use because I think it fits here. His name is Jimmy Rankin. Formerly of the Rankin family. Well, he's still in the family, but they're not so touring.
Solo.
So he's still a Rankin. But Jimmy has a brand new album coming out on April 1st. It's called Backroad Paradise. And he actually has some really amazing people appearing on that album, including Alison Krauss and Jim Cuddy.
Very cool.
The first single that we have released is called Cool Car. And there's no duet on that one. It's just Jimmy. But there is a video coming up very soon that they filmed in California. It's fantastic, and you'll see that on CMT and YouTube eventually. And then he has a tour coming up as well, starting in April. Across Canada. So I think it's time for us to play this new song that we love oh so much. We love it. Yes. So here you go, Jimmy Rankin with Cool Car.
Yay.
I got a cool car.
I got a cool car. Girl, I just met miles of open road, places we ain't been yet. Patio the radio, full tank to burn, and I got a feeling this night's gonna take a turn. So come a little closer, put your head on my shoulder, just me and you, get lost somewhere. You're sitting next to me. So come a little closer, put your head on my shoulder, just me and you, get lost somewhere. If we end up in Colorado, some town that we don't know, baby, I don't care, 'cause it don't matter where we are. I got a cool. Open road and places we ain't been yet. Come a little closer, put your hair.